We're going to read this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, a few verses, and also a few verses from chapter 27 of the same Gospel. Matthew, chapter 26, reading at verse number 57, just after the arrest of the Lord Jesus, and the disciples, they left him, and in verse number 57 we read, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, 'This fellow saith, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' But Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?'" And then turning over to chapter 27 and verse number 27, the scene is changed from the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, to the environs of Pilate. And in verse 27, Pilate's soldiers are involved. But then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him." And may the Lord bless our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Amen. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this quiet moment where together we can sit around the word of the living God. And we thank thee, O God, that tells us from beginning to end of the coming, the suffering, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, he who is the Messiah, the Savior, has come. And we bless thee, O God, for everyone that knows him as Savior and Lord of their lives. Bless thy people and grant, O God, today that we may, in renewed fashion, understand what it cost thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. And Father, again we pray that should there be a soul here still without God and without Christ and without hope in this world or the world to come, O God, we pray that thou would speak to that soul, and Lord, awaken that soul to flee from wrath to come and to be saved by the grace of God. We thank thee, our Father, that thou art able to save even this very day, because thou hast said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ask thee, Lord, now to close us in with thyself, defeat every stratagem of the wicked one to steal away the good seed of the word of God, And Lord, our prayer would be, sirs, we would see Jesus. And Lord, we recognize that we cannot work up this in our own minds. We need the Holy Ghost to take His own word and apply it to us. And Father, we pray that Thou would touch us and bless us with a sense of the presence of the Lord. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as you know, the famous World Cup soccer game was played. And since that time, the world's media has been very, very much involved on an incident that took place almost at the end of the game. It seems that who won the game was rather incidental to what transpired afterwards. The Italian player, Materazzi, he gave some sort of verbal insult to one of the French players, Zidane or Zidane, who is, I understand, I don't follow soccer, but I understand, one of the best players in the world. And he responded not with a verbal insult, but with the famous headbutt, a physical insult, getting Materazzi right in the chest and knocking him down. And so there has been all kinds of stuff in the press about these insults, both verbal and physical, that have gone back and forward. One of the problems, I believe, that they talk about sport today, but sport today is no longer sport generally, unless at the amateur level, because you're dealing with big business. And once big business comes into the thing and big money invades the sport, then you've got serious problems like they have in Italy. And while they won the World Cup, now they have serious problems with regard to corruption in the various teams throwing matches and so on. And so in our society today, that it is not so civilized as it used to be. The new normal today is to be insulting. And especially if you're out of the range of officials who could catch you for that insult. Now, an insult is the expression of contempt or disdain. And sadly, that's encouraged by much of the media today. And the Bible has it well in 1 Corinthians when it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. And you'll find today that the manners of people are not what they used to be, and rudeness and disgusting, insulting behavior is becoming the norm. But I would suggest to you that the greatest insult ever perpetrated upon man in this world in its history was what happened when we read these two scriptures and saw about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that there they spat in the face of He who is Almighty God. They turn back to chapter 26 there, and in verse number 67, when He's in the house of Caiaphas, and the officers of the temple and the servants there, then did they spit in His face and buffeted Him. And then the scene changes to the place where Pilate is holding his trial, and the soldiers gather round, and in verse number 30, they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And so this morning, I want us to think about this supreme, this awful insult to the Lord Jesus Christ, when both the servants of the high priest and the soldiers of Pilate, they spat in the blessed face of our Lord and our Savior. The first thing I want to highlight here is the purity of the Savior, because He is the one who was the recipient of this. And it's a sad, sad story when you think that the one who made them has to receive such disgusting behavior from them. But yet it wasn't unexpected, because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, over in Mark chapter 10, He told them in that chapter, Mark chapter 10 and verse 34, He says, the time is coming, I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles, and they shall mock Him and shall scourge Him and shall spit upon Him and shall kill Him, and the third day He shall rise again. So the Lord Jesus, He foretold what was going to happen in Jerusalem about the crucifixion, and He specifically mentions that one of the disgusting things that He would suffer is that He would be spat upon. Now the Lord Jesus, His face is a face of glory. It is a face that is the light of heaven. It is the joy of angels. It is the bliss of saints. And there's a description in the Song of Solomon of that face of the Lord. In the chapter 5, I'll read it for you, on verse number 10, where the bridegroom, representing the church, is saying, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars or pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely." And then the bride says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." And that is the one described by the Holy Ghost there, who stood in Caiaphas's house and stood before Pilate with his face running down with the spittles of the temple servants and Roman soldiers. Now, some people, they earn insults of others because of their behavior. I would venture to say it, that guy who insulted the French player, that he invited the reaction, but we do not support the reaction. But people do. They earn insults of others because of their behavior. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus do to those servants in the high priest's house that deserved the spittles to be spat upon him, running down his face? What did he do to them? The answer is nothing. And again, as he stood in Pilate's hall, and the soldiers round him, and they spit upon him, what did Jesus Christ do to those soldiers that deserved them to come and spit upon him? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, his life is impeccable. That means there's no sin involved. Did Jesus Christ ever break any of the commandments of God? And the answer is no. Those commandments, they tie him to his association with his heavenly Father, and they also tie him to his relationship to his earthly brothers. And you'll find in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no sin, no stain. And even two hostile witnesses in this place here that I'm looking at, that is Judas Iscariot in verse number 4 of chapter 27. He says, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." And again, in the psalm that we read, that very expression had come up this morning. And again in verse 24 of chapter 27, Pilate, after he washed his hands, said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." And so they admit that Jesus Christ was sinless. Why then would they spit upon him, and why would they do that which is so awful? You have to remember, too, that it was voluntarily in the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because over in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 50 and verse 6, you have written some 700 years before the event transpired, the words of Christ, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Now, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and scattered those priestly servants and those Roman soldiers, scattered them to oblivion. But he didn't do that. In the words of blessed hymn, "bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood." That Jesus Christ was absolutely pure, absolutely perfect, and was not at all worthy of the behavior that they meted out to him at that time. That brings us to the depravity of the soldiers and the servants. Because twice in the scripture discover this happened. First of all, the servants of the high priest, they spat upon him. And then the soldiers, they spat upon him. And this is a monstrous indignity to the Son of God. Because you know that the spitting in the face of a person has been regarded as an awful indignity down through the history of this world by all peoples at all times. You can turn over, I'll do it for you, to Numbers chapter 12. And verse 14, with regard to Miriam, the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? So with spitting, there is shame. Over in Deuteronomy 25 and verse number 9, you have the case of the brother who would not raise up seed to his deceased brother. And the wife of the deceased brother comes into the presence of elders, looses his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's household. Again, you've got spitting and shame side by side. Over in Job, Job tells us there in chapter 30 and verse number 10, he says, they abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face, because spitting in the face is one of the greatest indignities that any man or woman can put upon another person. It is a sign of reproach, a sign of contempt, a sign of disgrace, a sign of outrage. When you look at the timing of these cases we're looking at here with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was after the high priest asked Jesus to respond to the charges, which he didn't do. But then the Lord said at that time, he says, hereby or herein shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So what's the Lord doing? He's expressing right there his deity. And he's saying that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And as soon as he said that, then they got angry and they spat in his face. And by spitting in his face, they were saying, that's what we think of you and your kingdom and your power. We have no respect for you or whatever. And Caiaphas, as the high priest, he failed the people because he knew that Jesus was innocent. And he rends his garments and shows this outward show of grief that the Lord was supposed to have committed blasphemy. And when he pronounced the verdict, then these other lackeys, they were caused to be filled with pride and something to make them do something, and they immediately spat in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a warning to all religious leaders. Be careful what you do and what you say about Jesus Christ, because no matter what you may think about him, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. He is the one who has the anointing of God the Father upon his ministry. And then the other case, when before Pilate, you discover there that they are mocking Jesus. They put a reed in his hand, which is a sign of his wavering kingdom, not the proper scepter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They put a robe on him, a robe of scarlet, and they put, of course, on him the crown of thorns. And then they get down and mocking, Hail, the King of the Jews! It was after their mocking that then they dredged their throats for spittle and they spat upon the precious face of our Lord and our Savior. And by spitting, they're saying to him, You're the King of the Jews. This is what we think about you and your kingdom. And so they spat on him. Monsters and dignity to the Son of God. But involuntarily, unknown to those servants and those soldiers, In their profanity and in their vulgarity, they were fulfilling what was spoken by Isaiah some 700 years before, submitting himself to shame and to spitting. Unwitting witnesses, that this is the Messiah, because you take all those promises from Genesis right through to Malachi, all of those promises are all laser beams shining through history and all focusing in the person of Jesus Christ. This is He. You see, anybody come along and say, well, I'm the Messiah, and to do certain things that would make people think that they were. But you take the case of the Lord Jesus, you've got all these laser beams of prophecy focusing and converging on the one point, on the one person. He is the Son of the living God. So where would you ever find such depravity? Would you go back to the days of Noah and the world was filled with violence and depraved deeds that brought the very judgment of God upon the world? Would you go to Sodom and Gomorrah and see those cities that were destroyed by fire because of the wickedness there? Certainly a wicked age. But I would say you'd be hard-pressed. Hard pressed to find any more wicked action than the action taken by these servants and these soldiers when they spat in the face of Almighty God and spat in the face of their Creator and their Redeemer, saying, "We will not have you to rule over me." But then there's something more. Because in Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 8, we read there some of the laws regarding leprosy. And leprosy is a very clear type of sin in the Bible. The leprous disease is a picture of sin in the spiritual sense. And then Leviticus chapter 15, we're told there that if a man who is unclean spits upon a clean person, that clean person becomes unclean. So you got the transfer of the disease from one to the other. And there were certain things that the recipient had to do in order to cleanse away that stain. Oh, what a wonderful picture you have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these people, when they spat upon Him, you know very well that saliva is one of the main ways whereby disease is transferred. That's why you put your hand over your mouth when you're coughing, and you don't reach out your coughed hand to shake hands with somebody, because that's how disease is transferred. My friend, when they spat upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they were showing in type and shadow that He, the spotless Lamb of God, becomes tainted by the sin of this world. But remember, there were certain things that had to be done, the book of Leviticus, to remove the stain of the inherited disease. Jesus Christ never sinned, but He inherited the disease of our sin. And thank God on the cross, He died and shed His precious blood that you and I today might rejoice in the wonder of His salvation. So, you've got a picture here. An awful picture of Jesus Christ standing before these servants and the high priest and the priests, standing before Pilate and his soldiers, and his face is running down with the filthy spittles of these two. And the interesting thing is that both the spittles of the Jewish servants and the Roman soldiers were mingled and united on the face of the Lord Jesus, united in their hatred for He who is the King of Kings and the only Savior of the world. An atrocious outrage on the Son of God, the ultimate of depravity. I don't know how you feel, but you walk along the sidewalk and you see where someone has spat. That's on the sidewalk. It brings feelings of revulsion. But how much more in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a loathsome sight. that those spittles would run down the face of He who is a spotless, holy, harmless, the Son of God. Let me close this morning by looking for a moment or two at the identity of the sinners. Because we're looking here not just at Jewish servants and also at Roman soldiers. We're looking here at ourselves. Because we too must take our place beside those servants and beside those soldiers. And you say, but I'd never do such a thing. I'd never spit in the face of God. You can spit in the face of God in different ways than actually putting saliva on His face as they did. You see, when you deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God, you deny His place in the Godhead, you are actually spitting in the face of the Almighty. Now, if you're not saved here today, and the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to you as the only Savior of the world, and you're saying, no, I don't accept that He is God. I don't accept that He's the only Savior. You're actually spitting in the face of the Lord Jesus. And your spittle is just as bad as that of the servants and the soldiers in that day. You see, their problem was that He told them that He was the great I Am. Then they began to spit. And people today, they spit and they reject the deity of the Lord Jesus and His place in the Godhead. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they make up the Godhead, co-equal and co-eternal. And my friend, to deny the deity of Christ is to spit in the face of the Almighty. But also, if you reject His gospel, because the Lord Jesus is saying, come unto me, in feelings of tender compassion, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He's calling you unto Him. Now, when you refuse to come, you're saying, no, Lord, I do not want to come to You. I do not want Your salvation. I don't want Your sacrifice on the cross. And virtually are spitting in the face of our blessed Lord. My friend, the Lord is still calling. And I hope that He'll hear your response today, that you'll call upon Him. Then there's also the case of those people who prefer their own righteousness. Now the Bible tells us in Isaiah very clearly that our righteousnesses, our best righteousnesses, the best works that we do even, they are as filthy rags in the sight of God. On the other hand, you have the robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that is a spotless, impeccable, sinless righteousness. And the Lord is telling you that you will not get into heaven with your righteousness, because nothing that is defiled shall enter into heaven, Revelation 27 tells us. On the other hand, that if you're saying that I do not want the spotless righteousness of the Lord because I just don't want it, you're spitting in the face of God because you're choosing filthy rags over the spotless, glorious garment of salvation that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not think that that's an insult unto Almighty God? An insult to Christ? I'd rather have rags than the riches of His salvation. Take it away, Lord. I don't want it. And spit in His face. And then, there's also the case of those who like to rewrite the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Horrible things have been said about the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in recent times. Dan Brown for one, and his Da Vinci Code. It says horrible things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and while he will drake in the millions for selling his books, he is spat upon the face of the Lord. And someday he is going to face the Lord as those servants and those soldiers have done already. The Jesus Christ Superstar. Another case where horrible things have been said about the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's press, the world's authors spitting in the face of Almighty. But someday they're going to face. They're going to face the Lord, and they're going to have to tell the Lord and confess to him, but it will be forever too late. My friend, make sure that the Jesus Christ that you are talking about is the Christ of the Bible, not the Christ that Brown says or Rice says or Weber says. It is the Christ that the Bible speaks about, because this is the infallible record of the Lord Jesus. Just a word for God's people. If we're believers, just looking there at the thing, if we're Bill Marshall, who died, 4 years ago, used to sing, it's not an easy road we're traveling to glory. And for the believer, it's not an easy road that we have to travel. Remember, if they spat on the face of Jesus, why should you or I think that we should have better treatment? In the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church, when it started back in 1951 and 52 in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, it was not an unusual occurrence for God's faithful servants then to be spat upon for the stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the way the Master trod, and the servants we must tread it still. So I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, that because you're a believer, you think that people should come along and clap you in the back and say, well done. They're not going to do that. More likely to spit. But the Master has been that way, and we would tread that way gladly today as we follow him. He patiently bore the abuse of the world. So must we. And this morning, as believers, let us come and pledge our love to him again and again. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. As he stood there before Caiaphas and before Pilate, his face running down with the reeking spittles of those servants and soldiers. Another disciple to stand with him. He stood alone. Let us say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the faithfulness and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we rejoice that he was willing to suffer in our room instead, that we might be reconciled to God. And Father, we thank thee for every child of thine. O God, fill our hearts with love, we pray. And Father, we ask of thee that thou would draw us ever near to thee. And Lord, should there be a soul here today realizing that while they personally would not want to spit in the face of the Lord Jesus, yet by rejecting thee, they are still in the camp of those servants and those soldiers. And Father, we pray that thou would give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord, because we thank thee that such as do shall be saved. O God, we pray, come, bless us now as we can.